All right, so next up I'd like to introduce Rebecca Roberts. Rebecca is an evaluation coordinator at the University of Hawaii, Department of Public Health Sciences. Her research primarily focuses on lifestyle, healthy lifestyles in the school setting, as well as, this is interesting, conducting tobacco and alcohol inspections at local retail establishments. Very cool. So please join me in welcoming Rebecca. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here today. I'm looking forward to presenting on increasing physical activity in schools through a model schools program in Hawaii. I have no relationships to disclose. Just to give you a little background on the Healthy Hawaii Initiative, it was established in 2000 by the Hawaii Department of Health and is funded through tobacco settlement funds. So the goal of HHI is to increase years of healthy life for all and to reduce existing health disparities. And the three primary behaviors that we focus on are healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco-free lifestyles. So today I'm here to share a little bit about physical activity and physical education data from Hawaii's pilot model school program. So this is a three-year program that started in 2010 and finished in 2013. There were nine schools that participated in this program. There were seven schools that elected to focus on PE. They had a choice of looking at kind of strengthening their programs in either health education, nutrition education, or physical education. So we looked here at seven schools, three elementary, two middle, and two high. And the idea was that they didn't have to be a model school at the start of the program, but that over the course of 3 years, by working with our district health and PE teachers and providing professional development, that by the end of the three-year program, they would be model schools for the rest of the state. So some of the key components for the program, by agreeing to participate in this program, they were voluntary schools that participated. They agreed to utilize a common curriculum, for example, SPARK or Personal Fitness, Fitness for Life, utilize a common assessment such as FitnessGram, participate in professional development, implement the state wellness guidelines, conduct a culminating event at the end of the 3 years, such as like a student-led health or PE fair, encourage staff wellness as well, so it's school-wide and not just focused on students. Agree to work with the evaluation team to collect data as needed, and meet recommended instructional minutes for PE. So as part of the model school program, the schools were provided with around $7,000 to $8,000 each year, each of the 3 years, and worked with our health and PE resource teachers for technical assistance and, again, for additional professional development as needed. So each school was allowed to create their own action plan for the 3 years and focus on whatever interventions would work best for their school. So here's just a snapshot of some of the different interventions and activities, and I've tried to color coordinate them a little bit and group together visually. So the red squares, these are more focused on PE interventions and activities, for example, integrating technology into PE, integrating PE with core content areas. The blue ones look more at recess, structured activity, or adopting peaceful playground strategies. The purple squares, these focus more on other instructional activities that are maybe not necessarily related to PE, but video portfolios or opening a new fitness room. And then the remaining interventions and activities were just anything related to fitness school-wide. It could be after school, family night, or expanding intramurals. So these were just a few examples. And I'm here today to present on the evaluation methods that we looked at for the Model Schools program. So today I'll review four methods. So first, Julie already touched upon this, but we did collect observational data. So we looked at SOFIT, which is used during instructional time or PE class. And SOPLAY is the second observational instrument, and this is used during non-instructional time. So during recess, before, after school, and these measured student activity levels. Just to quickly tell you, we did collect data for 104 PE classes. We do know that this is still not, this is for all seven of the PE schools combined. We know that this is not representative of the entire PE program because we didn't get to visit the schools as often as we would have liked. So this is just kind of a snapshot to be able to provide the school with some feedback and with some data that they might be able to further use. But we collected data again for 104 classes. The second evaluation tool we looked at was the Safety and Wellness Survey. This is a SAWS survey that was administered annually to principals. It's an online assessment that measures compliance with our state wellness policy implementation. We also collected student survey data. Surveys were administered in the first year and the third year of the program, and these were used just to measure knowledge, attitude, and behaviors towards PE and physical activity. And the last evaluation method was looking at focus group data. So this was conducted with our health and PE resource teachers at the end of the three-year program and was just used to collect some summary feedback from the teachers. So I'll first start by just sharing some highlights of the SOFIT. So again, this is for all seven PE schools combined. We do provide individual school reports and summary reports to the schools, but just for purposes of today, I'm just showing you a little bit of information. So the categories of data, again, that Julie touched upon, for SOFIT does collect information about lesson context, student activity, and teacher interaction. Here I'm just showing you the information for student activity. So we code the behavior according to five categories: lying, sitting, standing, walking, and vigorous. We have summarized the data by combining lying and sitting here for you because the numbers were so small for lying. It was less than 1%. So just for purposes of this presentation, we did combine lying and sitting for you. And what I'd like to share is just that, as you can see over time, so for year one, the two most prominent activities were being engaged in vigorous activity and standing. This was about 30% of class time. Year two and year three, standing was the most prominent activity. So I'll explain a little bit more about this as we go on. So we did also look at MVPA. And how this data is collected is by combining the walking and vigorous categories of SOFIT. So you add these together to get MVPA. And the norm in the field that you're striving to reach is to have 50% of class time or more where students are engaged in MVPA. This is recommended by Healthy People 2010, 2020. So this is what we were looking at to see where our schools stand. So we're providing you here with the breakdown of the seven schools by the 3 years. And then I've highlighted in red for year three the four schools that did actually meet the goal in year three. We were kind of hoping that by the third year that all seven of the schools were reaching MVPA. And we did also notice that four of the schools had actually decreased their MVPA from the first year from baseline. So those were a few things that did come out of the data, and we still are exploring this. So next, just looking at SOPLAY. So again, this is our non-instructional time during recess or before or after school. And the three behaviors that are coded here are either as sedentary, walking, or vigorous. So when we looked at the data here, again, we can see that sedentary in all 3 years is the most prominent activity across the board at all seven of the schools. We do also notice, if you look in green at the vigorous, this was the highest in year one and then decreases in year two and kind of remains steady around year three. So again, sedentary was the most prominent behavior that came out with the SOPLAY instrument. And I know I'm only touching upon this briefly, but the next instrument that we looked at was the SAWS survey. This is conducted annually and given out to all the principals across the state. But I'm just providing a few highlights of the questions that were asked about physical activity components and physical education components. So looking at the seven schools, we did find that seven out of the seven PE model schools did provide support for physical activity outside of PE. All seven schools reported that students are meeting the 20 minutes a day of supervised recess. We found that three out of the seven schools were not meeting the recommended instructional minutes of standards-based PE each week. There were a few schools that were only slightly off. I know one of these three schools was about 5 minutes off in time. It was about 195 minutes they were meeting rather than 200. And they said they weren't able to increase this time to 200 just based on the master schedule at their school. Two out of seven schools did indicate that they withhold physical activity as punishment, so for example, denying recess or PE, and one out of the seven schools reported that they use physical activity as punishment, for example, push-ups or laps. Okay. Just looking at a little bit more of the SAWS information, when we asked the schools which of the following were barriers for PE, four out of the seven schools indicated that lack of instructional time was a barrier for PE, so about 57% of these schools reported lack of instructional time, which I'm sure many of you are not too surprised by. When asked which of the following resources were helpful or were facilitators for providing PE, six of the seven schools did indicate that having the district health and PE resource teacher was very helpful for them in providing PE. And, Okay, next I'm just going to show you a few highlights and examples from our student survey data. So this was collected during the first and the third year of the program, and I do apologize, I have a typo and I couldn't change it on the slides after I submitted, but for the pre-surveys in 2011, this should say 1,412 surveys were collected and post was 1,381. So around 1,400 surveys were collected from the students. The response rates that I've indicated just indicates the individual school response rate. So some of the school did have a lower response rate, 17% or 28%, but the majority of the schools had more than 50% response rate for the student surveys. The 1,400 surveys does reflect all of the surveys collected for all nine of our model schools. So the surveys that were collected for the PE and physical activity schools was around 700. It was around half of that. And again, the surveys were used just to measure knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors towards PE and PA. So this is just really giving some very brief highlights here. And so we did have different surveys for elementary and secondary students. We wanted to make sure we adapted the language and things like that. So when we asked elementary students, would you like to have more PE classes or less PE classes at school, the majority of students did indicate that they would like to have more PE classes, or over 70% of students. The sample size was a little bit low for elementary, but it's higher for secondary students. And around 20% said the same. So only around 5% of students said that they would like less PE classes. When asked how much do you like going to PE class at school, the results are also very favorable. About 70-75% of students indicated liking PE a lot, or around 23-24% liking a little. Again, only a very small percentage indicated not liking it at all. We didn't see too much of a difference, though, between the pre-post, but it did stay roughly the same over the 3 years. But we were pleased to see that students are really enjoying PE, that they do like going. Okay, looking at a few of the questions for the secondary students. So similar questions, but just asked for the middle school and the high school students. How much do you like going to PE classes at school? 60% indicated liking PE a lot, and 30% indicated liking PE a little. Again, only a very small percentage indicated not liking PE at all. And if you had the choice, would you prefer to take more or less PE classes at school? So this is a little bit lower than the elementary level, but 45% indicated that they would like to have more PE classes or about the same PE classes. And this was about 10% who said that they would like fewer PE classes. And the last question I have here for the student survey data, we just asked for them to rank their agreement on, I feel good about myself and I know I have worked hard in PE. And more than 80% of the students agreed or strongly agreed with this statement that they feel good about themselves when they work hard in PE. So again, this was kind of just to collect background information on the students, what they feel about PE, and then this information was provided back to the PE teachers and the principals as well. Lastly, we have some focus group data. So this is just some preliminary data. So we had a small focus group run in May of 2013 with our evaluation team and the health and PE resource teachers. These resource teachers worked very closely with the model school. So we were asking them to share their feedback on what worked well, what didn't work well, what they would suggest for other schools across the state. So they asked a series of questions about their thoughts over the 3 years. And we were able to collect a list of best practices, what they think worked well. So here's just a few examples. So they felt that the schools that did actually implement and have a common curriculum and common assessment seemed to have more success than some of the other schools. Those that incorporated technology into PE, where they were able to get the students excited about coming to PE, to be able to relate to them a little bit more. Supporting PA during non-instructional time. Restructuring rewards and healthy celebrations, as I'm sure most of you are familiar with, but kind of taking it away from the focus on food, but being able to celebrate more. I know some of the schools would have fitness day celebrations with the principal rather than having a pizza party, you know, that type of thing. Also in Hawaii, this was important for us, being able to tailor the PE programs to include culturally relevant activities. For example, you can see here, this is a PE activity, this is land paddling, and up on the top right you have indo boards. So working on balance and core strength and relating it maybe to surfing for Hawaii. So we do try to make it as relevant as possible to the students. And then new PE and the lifetime sports. A couple more best practices that were suggested were staff wellness, and the schools that seemed to be most effective were those that had teacher buy-in, where it was everybody on board with the health and PE practices in the school. Those seem to be better than the ones that just had that one strong PE leader, but instead had all of the classroom teachers and particularly buy-in from administrators and school leaders. Also, staff qualifications and professional development opportunities, these were perceived as helpful. As far as staff qualifications, those elementary schools that had a part-time PE teacher versus schools that just had classroom-based teachers. And also community partnerships and parental involvement. Several of the elementary schools had parents who were really active and would even come in. They wrote for their own grants for the school during recess time. They would have parents come in maybe once or twice a week, and they would help with semi-structured recess and would provide rewards and incentives for the kids. They had one group that was called Geckos on the Move, and they set up cones in the field, and the kids could choose to do any of the other recess activities, or they could slowly accumulate over the course of recess. They would run several laps, they would have somebody log it, and then they would keep track of their miles to the point that they were able to accumulate enough miles to have run a marathon over however many months. So then they would get rewards for, you know, if you hit your 10-mile mark and so forth. So they would keep track of the number of students that had ran the equivalent of a marathon, which I thought was pretty exciting for elementary students. Okay, so just I know it's a lot of data and a lot of different evaluation methods to throw at you, but we just wanted to share all the different methods that we're engaged in right now with the model school program. So just to summarize briefly then, for the SOFED and SOPLAY observations, we did find that 4 out of 7 schools met the 50% MVPA goal. Although we noticed that there was a decrease in lying and the sitting behavior, there was also a decrease in vigorous activity during PE class. Students were also more vigorous during year one of the SOPLAY observations than year two or year three. We feel that this could possibly be due to they were really excited during the first year, the initial year of the model school program, and then kind of year two and year three, it's probably expected that they return back to their normal behavior and normal routines at the school level. So that could be part of the data that we're seeing. And we also found that elementary students did have higher rates of MVPA than the secondary students during recess. You know, we'd hear a lot from the high school students that, you know, they didn't want to get sweaty and run around. So there are definitely differences between elementary and high school students. When looking at the SAWS survey, we found that not all of the model schools are meeting the state wellness guidelines, for example, the number of instructional minutes. We found that secondary school state wellness guidelines, for example, the number of instructional minutes. We found that secondary school, elementary schools are better at not using physical activity as punishment than the secondary levels. Also, all schools are meeting the required number of minutes for recess and providing support for physical activity outside of PE, so we were pleased to see this. And then the top barrier that was indicated for physical education was a lack of instructional time, and the top facilitators were identified as actually having the Healthy Hawaii Initiative Health and PE Resource Teachers were named as a very useful resource for the schools. Looking at the student survey data, 75% of elementary students and 45% of secondary students indicated wanting more PE classes, and more than 95% of students reported liking PE a lot or a little. So in general, we found that the survey results were very favorable with the students. They were meeting a lot of the wellness guidelines as well, but we found that the observational data showed that they weren't really meeting the amount of MVPA that we might have expected after the end of 3 years. The focus group data did reveal that there were mixed levels of success for the various model schools, but several best practices that were identified were having a common curriculum, incorporating technology, using the new PE program rather than traditional PE, and having staff and admin support proved to be really helpful. So next steps in moving forward from here, we are finishing the data analysis to identify trends and really try to figure out what worked well with these schools so that we can share this out with the rest of the schools in the state. Again, this was just a small pilot program, and now we'll be working with the schools and the resource teachers to really share what worked well. Follow up with the model schools to see if their progress can be sustained. So it was a 3-year program, and even though the funding is going to stop for these 9 schools, we want to make sure that they will still be able to continue their progress, so see what other resources they might be able to need or use. And lastly, again, share best practices with other schools, state leaders, policymakers, and families. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yeah, sure. We do actually feel that one of the reasons was just the initial excitement with the program. So when they were first kind of declared a model school program, there was definitely more energy in the schools with the principal, with the staff. And that was the first year that they were having evaluators come in and kind of stand and watch their PE classes. So I think that was kind of a different notion. I think after the first year, they were used to seeing us around. They were more comfortable and could kind of settle back maybe into what is more their true behavior, their normal PE class. So that is one reason that we can think of. Again, I mean, there are differences. We were there for all various PE classes, so there are differences. You know, we could have been there for a softball class, or we could have been there for something more vigorous. So we didn't go to the same exact lesson every year. So that could have an effect as well on what we just happened to observe. It was randomly whatever was offered that day. We couldn't arrange what we were going to observe. No. The program started in 2010, and that was the first year of data we collected. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes? Trying to think. Most of the teachers, at least at the secondary level, certainly stayed the same. That could be a factor for some of the elementary schools where we were observing just with the classroom teachers. It was not necessarily always the same classroom teacher that we observed. There was some admin turnover at several of the schools as well, and that probably did play a part because we did find that some were more supportive than others. So that may play a role. Yeah.
One more question.
Sure. Sorry, yes, that is just a Hawaii-based survey that the Department of Health and Department of Education have developed together to address our state wellness guidelines. So,
is that something you could share, or would you outside of Hawaii access to look at the questions you
have? I'm not sure that we can. Yeah, can we share? Okay, yeah, we will be able to share that, and I know we're going to be publicly sharing some of the information soon from the most recent survey year. So, yeah, if you want to, I can give you my card after, and we can exchange details.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.